The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast, the first episode of 2024. I'm Marty Gold. This is going to be the kickoff to season four. I want to thank all of you for supporting us through seasons one, two, and three. And in particular, those of you that were donors to our fundraising campaign in December, managed to get over the top. And it was close enough that I wasn't going to complain, but got put over the top on the last day of the year with a very generous donation. Much appreciated to all of you who did. And there's going to be more of the same. We're going to continue to need your help, your support, your financial support, your news tips, all of those ingredients. Because one thing I found over the course of the holidays and talking with people who made donations in particular, but with other people just in circulating through the Christmas and New Year season, we're making a difference. People are noticing what we're talking about. They appreciate the effort that's being put in. They know that this is an important platform. So the community doesn't get gaslit, BS'd, misinformed, malinformed, disinformed, disinformation. We combat all of that, and people are recognizing that, and for that I am very grateful. And so we'll roll out other fundraising campaigns during the year. We're going to continue to earn your trust. We're going to take a look at all sorts of stories through the month of January. That I'll describe actually at the end of the program, but more of the same and a few things that are different, whether it's politics, the legislature, city hall, those kinds of politics, other kinds of politics, what's going on in your neighborhoods. We're going to have quite a pace here. I try to take a few days, away from the desk. I should mention, we haven't put out a podcast yet this year, but I did on actionline.ca. If you go to our platform, our main platform, then you'll see a reposting, an updating of our tribute to Bobby Hull from last year after Bobby passed away. The tremendous one-hour interview that we were granted with Peter Young, who knew Bobby as well as anybody in the broadcast business. And so we reposted that on actionline.ca on, as I record this, January 3rd, Bobby Hull's birthday, to kick a little bit more life into that one, a chance for the great stories that Peter told. And I had a few Bobby Hull stories myself, both as a fan and from having actually been lucky enough to meet him one time. Hopefully you'll have a chance, if you weren't already aware, that we put that episode on. It's not launched through through the podcast platform. It's specifically on Action Line, but it has that audio in it. And go take a listen, and you'll enjoy stories about what it was like to be a hockey fan in Winnipeg, in particular in the 1970s. Some comments from some listeners towards year end or at year end, in particular our final episode of the year. Who are the parents of violent killer teens? Asks grieving mother. Great work, Marty, said one listener. You are the voice that needs to be heard in this city. Thank you. Good show, Marty, said another. Happy New Year to you. I forgot to mention, I think it was the murder at the Cargill building. This would be a reference to the girl who was stabbed to death on Graham Avenue in front of 240 Graham. They caught they used a word here, I'm going to change it to accused, in St. Boniface in the, and I think it was, it says 100 block, I think it was in the, by Provence and De Muron, and there's a couple of people. Come to think of it, that's one of two arrests that have been made in St. Boniface of very wanted criminals in the last while. The only people to blame, said this listener, for crime running rampant is our government. Well, it's also not just government, the comprehension of what's going on our streets, and not just our streets, but inside our shopping malls. I myself had an experience with downtown safety today, up close and personal observations. And I'm going to bring those to you in the next in the next segment of this program, in part two, where we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the issue. Social media is a minefield of the best of times, especially for people that aren't professional communicators, let's say. And I don't want to go too deep into a lot of the sideways subjects. I think there's going to be a lot of fertile ground when it comes to the subject of Dr. Joss Rimer, a media darling here in Winnipeg, president-elect of the Canadian Medical Association, the chief medical officer for the WHA, former medical lead for the COVID vaccine task force, and a self-styled expert on downtown crime and safety. And she got an earful in return. The Pollyanna of downtown Winnipeg, Dr. Joss Rimer. What she said, what the other people's experience is, and then the back and forth that went on online. It's quite something to see a public figure end up in this kind of a situation and get so thoroughly slapped down for not knowing what they were talking about. Back with more. Dr. Joss Rimer getting... Well, I don't know if the public feels they get their money's worth from the job that she has on the government payroll, but considering that Twitter's free, those that were on Twitter certainly got their money's worth in pushing back on her nonsense. You'll hear more right after this.
This episode of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast is sponsored by Jamrock Security, protecting your family, your business, and your community. Call 204-880-1564. Or go to jamrocksecurity.ca, your trusted security partner.
The Great Canadian Talk Show is brought to you by The Hive Hair Company. From classic to funky, the styles of your life are at The Hive, in the heart of the Osborne Village at 175 Osborne. Call 452-4483 or online, thehivehaircompany.com.
What the legacy media won't talk about.
They're too busy covering ribbon cuttings and other such things.
He will.
Winnipeg radio, it's moved more and more away from being dynamic, provocative, and closer to...
It's Marty Gold.
That's not the way it should be, especially with broadcast licenses issued by the CRTC, but that's their problem.
On the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast.
Not the power of CKY or CKRC, but we intend to try to match them in quality.
What does Pollyanna mean? Well, one description of a Pollyanna: it's a person characterized by irrepressible optimism and a tendency to find good in everything. But it's more than that. One description I found online: a sunshine-spreading orphan. I don't know that Joss Rimer qualifies as an orphan. And I don't know that she qualifies as sunshine spreading exactly, but she was spreading something last week. And I set aside a number of her other, what I've noted about a number of her other comments. There's a lot of people that don't think she's a straight shooter. But on New Year's Eve, she engaged in a thread, 10:39 a.m., on New Year's Eve, and it got 45,000 views. The first tweet did. We call them tweets still because we don't call them X's. I work on Main Street north of the Disraeli Bridge. I run or bike to work, she says. People, and she puts in brackets, usually people who do not walk around in that area, often tell me how dangerous that is. Here is my experience. On my last run, I got yelled at three times downtown. They yelled, "Good morning, have a good jog, have a nice day." Several people got big smiles seeing a runner first thing in the morning downtown. One guy pretended to run a bit and gave me a thumbs up. Very Pollyanna, isn't it? At Portage and Memorial, an SUV turning right on red almost hit me while I was crossing the crosswalk with the walk sign lit. I screamed and jumped out of the way, and thankfully was not hit. I've been hit by an SUV while running on the sidewalk in the past. So while SUVs and trucks are a very real danger on all our roads, said Dr. Joss Rimer, I'm left wondering how much of people's perception of danger downtown is just good old-fashioned racism. That's right, the danger downtown, said Dr. Joss Reimer, was SUVs and trucks, a very real danger on all of our roads. So here's the message from the putative top doc of the country. When you take your drive, your car, your truck, your SUV, and you're going downtown to the art gallery, the legislature, the law courts building, East India Company, to the arena for a hockey game or a concert, or if you're going to the Y for a workout, going to visit some friends up in South Broadway neighborhood, you're a very real danger. You're the danger downtown. I bet you didn't know that. Here you have a highly paid official, might I add, what's that job again? Winnipeg Regional Health Authority. And she says, you know, I go running downtown and people wave at me and people tell me how dangerous it is, but it's the vehicles. Now there's a parody account on Twitter. There are a number of parody accounts on Twitter. Not just one. There are a number. One of the funniest, and I mean funniest straight up, is a Bartley Kivas parody account. And Bart has pretty much abandoned Twitter for no bad reasons. It's time-consuming and kind of mind-numbing, and so he's not tweeting right now. But the parody account still is. And in zoning in on Reimer's tweet, so while SUVs and trucks are a very real danger on all our roads, I'm left wondering how much of people's perception of danger downtown is just good old-fashioned racism. The Bartley Kivas parody account announced, breaking, pillar of community confirms what most have known for years. Anyone who perceives that downtown is dangerous is just racist, and any actual danger is as a result of SUVs and trucks. Where do we go with it? What do we do with this, as my lawyer once said? Well, let's start with this. Never mind whatever experiences I myself have had downtown in the last couple of years, including, as I mentioned on the podcast, being randomly kicked at by some goof in broad daylight at the corner of Portage and Gary on like a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon for absolutely no reason. I'm going to set aside all the businesses I know. Go to the print shop to pick up posters for the wrestling show. Guess what? That door is locked. They notice you through the glass, they'll come and they'll open the door. They can't leave the doors open anymore. And that's two or three blocks removed, not even from the corner of Portage and Main. The empty storefronts. Speaking of empty storefronts, and here's how I'll relate it. I had cause today, as I record this, to go downtown to accompany a friend where there had been a mix-up on a medical appointment. They told him it was the 4th, it was the 3rd. And this friend of mine has a disability, and they need someone to help them. They can get around a little bit on their own, but really much easier. Somebody else drives them, drives their car, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been doing this for helping him out, 8 months, I guess, 9 months. And that's all very well and good. And we've gone down to this doctor's office before in Portage Place. And it's always heads-up hockey, starting in the parkade and ending, hopefully, back in the parkade. There are times we've gone to these appointments and then gone to look at a store or two downtown as well. I know what I've seen. I know what I've smelled. I know what I've heard. I know how people behave around an individual who has an obvious disability as they're walking and don't get out of the way, don't provide a wide berth. Nobody says to their hooligan kids, hey, move over, let that fellow with the cane pass. Today we went to Portage Place and left them for their appointment. The doctor took them in and I went on my usual tour of the mall, and I went through Portage Place Mall, and I want to explain something, just so that the Joss Reimers of the world think I don't know what I'm talking about. When that mall opened, I was right around, I was driving cab back in those days, but within about a year, I moved in to the adjacent apartments on the promenade with a girlfriend and a coworker of hers. Then they were girls of the 80s. They thought it would be a great idea. And it was very unique to live in a shopping mall, like adjacent to one. And for me, being able to take my kids, who were then very small, so the days that I had the kids, take them right into the mall in the dead of winter, don't have to pack them up in a parka. There was restaurants there, different kinds of stores. I think there might have even been an arcade. It made sense. But even then, it was heads up hockey. It was a little dicey, I could tell you, that by the next year, by May of 89, the washrooms in Portage Place Mall already had a reputation for drug dealing, for people being mugged or hassled on the way in or out. So it's always been problematic, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. I know of what I speak. And I wandered through the mall and I saw all the closed retail spaces. I peeked through the window to look at the skate park that they put in where Staples was at the end, which is, you know, I'm glad somebody did something with that space that at least provides something back to the community in terms of, it wasn't open today, but I accept that that's been a positive, something positive. The mall itself is clearly in the death throes. And the only place where there is really any people was actually in the food court, which is a little busier, and I've seen it in quite some time. And I walked through and I looked around at the pathetic remainder of how many offerings are left. Not much has survived in that food court, and it's a shame to see. And I made my observations about the people wandering through, loitering, those that were gathered, and it did not take 3 minutes for an altercation. And some, and I'm going to use this term quite freely, fat cow, swearing, standing up. I think she was trying to like light a cigarette. She was clearly drunk. And she starts trying to get at a girl. And I couldn't figure out what the story was with this. When I say girl, she looked like about 20, 21 years old. And it was later, like when it was had broken up, that I see she had like some sort of insignia on the back of her jacket, like she was security or something. I'm sure she's just, you know, there to just sort of like keep an eye on things more so than, you know, she's not providing any muscle. And this dame, this cow, tried to get at her. I guess the girl told her she had to leave the mall, right? Leave the food court. She tried to get at her. She tried to attack her. She tried to barrel past people to get at her. She grabbed a chair and tried to throw the chair at the girl. And then as she was being escorted out, she spit on this young girl. Is that young girl, and I think I can say this pretty safely, she was Southeast Asian, I think is how they call it in the news now, in appearance. She a racist for what she saw and having a concern? Am I a racist because I saw what I saw with this drunk oaf disrupting everybody's quiet loitering and lunch, coffee or whatever in the food court without any regard for anybody else? She swung that chair around. She could have whacked someone in a wheelchair. That's what I saw downtown. Lots of disorder. And Joss Reimer got an earful about that. But, you know, there's more. Come to think of it. There's actually more about this. Because just this morning, I'm going to see if I can dig this up. If I can pull this off. 1 second. Because I don't want to have to run this through my tech if we don't have to. Just this morning, someone paid me a compliment. And it was because I had reposted an interview that was done by Clay Young. And Clay had done an interview with a Winnipeg restaurateur. And the piece revolved around public safety. And this restaurateur spoke about how all his restaurants, of which he owns three, are all affected by crime. And one of the biggest problems is that it makes people feel unsafe to go to work. Well, the subject came up in the, going back to the Twitter thread, where people started to challenge Dr. Joss Reimer. This all went on New Year's Day, and it was vigorous. You work in the WRHA building. So yeah, but have you ever gone throughout the entire downtown area? Probably not. The North End, West Broadway, probably not. Health Sciences, probably not. As you're in that WRHA building, go to the Health Sciences more often, you'll see it. All you did was show ignorance in your comment. And Reimer stupidly responded, I actually do all of my clinical work at HSC, and I've unfortunately seen and have perceptions that don't match the actual risk. What? You see, you have the guy who owns Four Crowns, Ravi Rambaran, telling CJOB, telling Global, that the violence, the crime, makes it hard. This is a quote. It makes it hard for people to feel safe coming to work. This new normal now. I refuse to see that happen. Would she call him a racist? She'd be telling him, hey, you better be watch out for those SUVs. How safe is downtown? It's so safe that the courts on December the 4th allowed a guy with an IQ of 44 that had threatened a cop. Remember a few months ago we talked about a guy, they tried to mug a cop coming out, it's like 7 in the morning, and he fought them off, and some goon came back on a bike and said, hey, give us back our stuff, and the cop told him to go blow. That was him. And on December 4th, he's in court. And boo-hoo over his upbringing and his poverty. And the guy has an IQ of 44, and the judge agreed with the defense attorney and the Crown attorney, defense attorney Aaron Braun. I think Nicole Roche was the Crown attorney. And the judge, Mary Kate Harvey, agreed with a joint recommendation giving him a year of supervised probation. That was December 4th. On December 9th, this fellow was allegedly involved with four others in the, essentially it was a kidnapping. That girl, 27-year-old girl, lured to 24 Carlton, beaten, robbed, abused, held against her will, and ended up in a dumper damn near freezing to death. And this idiot, Miles, who was arrested the day that the Free Press ran a story, Romeo Chris Miles, he pled guilty to threatening an off-duty police officer with a machete. Mary Kate Harvey let him out, and he was allegedly part of a gang of five, one of whom still at large. One thing I missed early on in this was on December 14th, two other dames were arrested. And this goes back to the women-on-women violence, like the teen-on-teen violence we see in this city. And Evan McKay is still being sought in the case. And the one fellow, the one they really wanted because he's wanted for attempted murder, Audie, he turned himself in Boxing Day. Right? You see how many of these guys, they want to stay out through Christmas. The guy in Fort Garry didn't work out so good for him with the cops. This is the kind of people that are downtown. Miles. Failing to comply with court orders, assaults, thefts, robbery, weapons possession, break and enters, and thefts. And what does the judge say? Yeah, no knives. Knives get you in trouble. Pick better friends. I wonder what that girl on Carlton would say about downtown safety to Dr. Joss Reimer and what she would say to the judge that let this freak out. Back to Joss Reimer and working in the WRHA building. She does her clinical work at HSC. And I've unfortunately seen and experienced violence from patients. My point is not that violence doesn't exist, rather that people who spend little to no time in this neighborhood have perceptions that don't match the actual risk. She's talking about the actual risk in and around Skid Row. Now, the fellow that was going back and forth with her, challenging her, she doesn't go to HSC and doesn't go through downtown. At no time were patients mentioned. He said, that's wrong on your part. Late November 2021 until December 12th, 2021, when I lost my partner, I was going to the HSC every day. I would see people outside, verbal, mental, and times physically abused. So don't go there on mentioning patients to cover up. So she's called out for covering up. Now, again, you think that, what did she say? It's a racist perception? Ifeoma Okwor, evidently an African fellow, replied, I've lived around Broadway while going to school, working in HSC for over 10 years. I've been called not so nice names, told to go back to my country, spat on, shoved into the street, and our car was broken into regularly, in my experience. Downtown is dangerous. In Josh Reimer's experience, you're a racist, buddy. Now, another person pointed out to her, that's because you're running and people causing issues, and those in the area know they couldn't keep up. I've been threatened numerous times walking downtown, in and out of skywalks when I used to work there. And Reimer conceding, I think the fact that I'm running does make a difference. I also walk around the area fairly often, but it's a fair point. That's not the last of the fair points that were made.
It's like beefs and bouquets. Well, not really.
I don't think this is a gold star award that Winnipeg should be proud of when you're featured in the Federal Conservatives' What Went Wrong in Canada scenarios, and Winnipeg's at the top of the class. So it's not something of a badge of honor, I think, for the current leadership at City Hall to wear.
You're listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
Perhaps you or Peter Warren could tell us.
On actionline.ca.
A lot of the people that took offense to Josh Reimer's flippant gaslighting about the dangers of downtown was from women. Like I said, the victim on 24 Car at 24 Carlton of the essentially kidnapping, hostage taking, apparently sex trafficking was involved in this fracas. There's a woman that Josh Reimer just dismisses her experience. Here's another woman. I got punched in the face on a sunny Saturday afternoon near Thunderbird House by a woman out of her mind on drugs and got a black eye. Everyone else was nice, but things can go wonky fast there. Oh, there's the reality. That is the reality. Let's take a look here for one other second. Here's another Canadian mom. That's odd because I work in the car and drive through Main Street every day. On two occasions, people tried to hijack my car. I saw a naked man with a knife in the middle of traffic. I tried to park by the Manitoba Museum on Friday with two kids. That's the day that she's, I guess this was from the previous Friday, this being from, Friday. And this is December 31st this post was put up. Oh, so that's very good. So this is on Sunday. 2 days earlier, this woman said, I tried to park by the Manitoba Museum on Friday with two kids. There was a guy trying to steal cars, pulling bear spray on security. The dim sum restaurant was cleaning up broken glass from the break-in. I don't think you're out and about enough to say that it's safe. You saying that puts people in danger. Is that the job of the head of the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority to provide misinformation that puts people in danger? Another young lady, Megan McLean, I no longer live in Winnipeg. It's more peaceful over here in Elmer, Quebec. There's definitely a problem in all of Winnipeg, crime-wise. Another woman, I think this is such an irresponsible post. You dismiss other safety concerns with such little regard, simply based on your own privileged experience. Looking at police data reports would say a difference to my story, but instead, because you say it's safe, it's safe. I work downtown, same woman. And after 18 years, pre-COVID was a way different vibe. Which is actually what that restaurateur said about what's going on in his restaurants. After COVID, the violence and the break-ins and problems that his business has been having, businesses, has just skyrocketed. This woman saying the same thing. Pre-COVID was a way different vibe. People are now unpredictable. I've witnessed scary situations and been in two myself that couldn't have gone much worse. But dismissing it because you haven't experienced it is disingenuous. And if your whole point was really the jab at cars and to point out how much you choose alternative transportation, just say it. At least then others aren't shamed. Another person saying, my problem with what you said is the knee-jerk racist comment. Too many woke people are going to the "you're racist" attack. I find it to be, look at me, a woke white person. I'll call you racist. You don't call me racist. As Josh Reimer said, I've been asked for directions, been asked where the closest Tim Hortons is, been cheered on, been asked for a smoke, been high-fived, but I've never been threatened and never witnessed any violence apart from cars. So SUVs and trucks are a very real danger on all our roads. I was wondering how much of people's perception of danger downtown is just good old-fashioned racism. Look at that parade of racists. Came out on Twitter and bravely confronted Josh Reimer. Pollyanna herself. Response from one of our followers, actually. I'm speechless that a doctor would say this. I have three nurse friends that work in the emergency department at HSC. Maybe you should go and speak with them. Her lack of knowledge shows how privileged her new position is. Never mind the cars and racism talking points from liberals. I'm sure that we'll have lots more observations about Dr. Josh Reimer all through 2024 because nobody... See, she's a media darling. There isn't a lot of scrutiny about a lot of these individuals in this city and how they are intertwined. They all have the same causes. They chant the same mantras. Right? And we'll get into this in the course of the next week, 10 days. We'll take a look because this will tie back into bike lanes. It'll tie into the anti-car culture that apparently our woke overlords are trying to enforce and promote, as we see, notwithstanding the gas tax recess. Hey, there's a good term, eh? I'm sure we'll have not only more on Dr. Ryan, but there's a few others, things that are going to be discussed. You know what? Fast break. We got all sorts of new commercial spots. I'm going to give our tech a chance to slide a couple of them in here. Stay with us. I come back, going to give a bit of a preview of what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks here on the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast.
Do you have a comment, story tip, or want to advertise or support the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast? Email tgcts1@gmail.com. Join the Facebook group or follow us on Twitter @tgcts. You have the power.
And they're saying the judge got it wrong. Everyone got it wrong. Everyone is wrong, but the city of Winnipeg.
As I wrap up episode one of season four, I just want to harken back to, we had a very strong December, some excellent episodes. The transit episode about the transit union heads and some questions about some activities that may have gotten swept under the carpet, so to speak. That was our top, most listened to episode in 2023. The Nanny Fontaine episode, What's in a Name? Ask Nanny Fontaine, was second. The 88-year-old former magistrate being assaulted at a bus stop in August, that was third. Our special report on the parents in East St. Paul pushing back against the school, trying to cancel Mother's Day, that was fourth. Crime from homeless encampments overwhelming North Point Douglas, that was fifth. Our interview with Robert Falcon, Ouellette, running for the Liberals in Southdale, that was the sixth most listened to. The family speaking out of when the killer of Paul Radicach died in custody, that interview was right behind the Ouellette interview. The two-tiered media ignoring what happened at Heather Stephenson's campaign office, that had a pretty wide distribution. Our review of the provincial election, Wobb's Waffle to the Right Wins, was number nine. And of all things, our interview with Michael Birch, conservative running in the northern riding Puyehutinook, that finished in 10th, just ahead of the St. Boniface, one of our St. Boniface bike lane story, one of the first ones about the bike lanes being dropped on the heads of the businesses, unawares of the businesses and really the residents of St. Boniface. We'll have lots more of that. Now, towards the end of the year, on Action Line, there's going to be increasingly more and more articles posted there. I posted one about my experiences in doing extensive investigations of the Manitoba Boxing and Wrestling Commission, both in terms of how they misappropriated funding by overcharging fees to the American Wrestling Association. Vern Gagne's outfit, but it was actually Don Britton of Channel 12. who held the promoter's permit, who was fleeced, and I ended up representing Don. And there was also a lot of chicanery going on in boxing and not enforcing, not requiring the medical test, because Buck Mandiowski was a complete pathological lunatic and liar. And in that episode, which came out, that story, which came out Christmas Day, got a response to that from not one, but two elected officials, former boxer Danny Vendel, taking note of the mention of the boxer Larry Morissette, though Larry wasn't much of a boxer, but he ended up dabbling in it before going to a lifetime of social work, and Bulldog Brown, who harassed me on behalf of the commissioner, Danny Vendel, had a good laugh about that. Danny says, I went a few rounds with Buck in the 90s. I'm going to have to ask him about that. A member of Parliament for St. Boniface listens to our program and pays attention to certainly our sports articles. And City Councilor Ross Eady also mentioning that he knew both Byron Prince, who was prominent in the boxing scandals as a victim of Buck Mandiowski's slack medical regime. He and Larry Morissette, and Ross mentioning his own recollections of both of those, Byron from some rougher places, I guess, and Larry from the Lord Selkirk Park area back in the 70s. Thanks for posting it up. It brought back those memories. So once in a while, we do try to mix up the current day political stuff with some sports stories and some retrospectives. The final episode of the podcast in season three, about the basically six youths wanted, two I think still on the loose, with regards to the murder of Peter Phillip on Remembrance Day by Logan in Arlington. And that episode also got a lot of very positive reaction because we pieced the thing together and tell the truth and talk about what's important and where the failings are and point fingers in the directions they need to be pointed at. Coming up in January, we're going to follow up on all these crime stories. We're going to keep an eye on downtown safety. The Tory leadership race is going to, there's a lead up to it when they decide on what the leadership rules are going to be, at which point the Conservatives will find a new leader, an interim new leader, and then a permanent new leader. I'm going to be looking at keeping you informed with those developments. The bike lobby circled their wagons over the holidays, and I'm going to have a special story about that by Sunday, in the next few days. We're going to put that together. You will not believe what went on, and that was all a result of my interview with Councillor Brian Mays, and Brian Mays being the city's second city councillor, to now say that they're willing to ask questions about what's going on with the bike lane on Goulet and the city planning, or the, if you can call, you can't really call it planning, but the city taking steps to create dysfunctional truck routes by engaging in rebuilds that were, you know, half-assed done. The lanes are a mess. The bike lane still is. And by the way, it's not just those bike lanes that aren't open. As I learned over the holidays, the bike lane on Stradbrook isn't open either. Ooh, makes you wonder why exactly. What kind of standards are these builds being held to? Why are they so rushed that they can't get finished on time? Whose pockets are getting lined? We're going to be talking about that. As a matter of fact, another city councilor has a beef about fake public consultations as it relates to active transportation, and that councilor is committed to an interview in the new year. Still have not heard a response from Councillor Gillingham's office. I'll be reminding them as well that we want to get Mayor Gillingham on the record here on the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. We are going to have a special focus on St. Boniface and Windsor Park. We're going to be going back to Sargent Avenue about the plan for a bike lane there that is simply not going to be dropped on their heads because we blurted out the secret and made sure that they were clued in. And as well, and this will take a little bit more time to develop, but there's been some unfortunate decisions made by the City of Winnipeg Police at some level, and it appears that they're more intent on protecting the Islamist mob than on protecting Winnipeg's Jews. Because when you've got a mob protesting in and around a mall with Jewish store owners, Jewish employees, and Jewish shoppers, and four Jews are standing around talking, I don't think it's appropriate for 8 or 9 cops to come over to the four Jewish people and tell them that they must disperse when they aren't the ones chanting for the destruction of any countries, chanting for violent revolution, or chanting for any particular region to be made void of people of a certain ethnic or religious background. But the city of Winnipeg police has developed a problem, as has police forces across the country. This morning in Toronto, I believe it's a food supply place, way up in the northern part of Toronto. I think it was on Wilson. Arson, Free Palestine, spray painted on the windows. One of many incidents. You got a lot of members of parliament, a lot of, including liberal members of parliament, that are now, oh, we can't tolerate this. Well, you are. And they don't seem to want to pick up the phone and ask Justin Trudeau what he thinks he's actually going to do. Of course, he'll do nothing because he doesn't want to endanger his support base. And we will also, in upcoming episodes, we'll be talking about this theory of bringing in 1,000 people from Gaza when 70 to 80% of the population supports Hamas. So this is sort of like importing Germans from Dresden right after the Allied bombing. How many of them do you think were Nazis? Hamas, the modern day Nazis. And Justin Trudeau and Wob Kanoe think it would be a good idea to bring them to Winnipeg. We'll be keeping an eye on that in the next few episodes as well. A lot of this comes across heavy. A lot of it comes across as serious business. And it is serious business because it's your life and your future and your family's future and the economic well-being of you and your business. And we see how the Dr. Joss Reimers of the world, the woke jokesters, who, like President Gay at Harvard, make ridiculous statements, make excuses for things that are inexcusable, have a warped view of reality, don't want to acknowledge what's going on, who's responsible, and who the victims really are. The perpetrators of these crimes in our community, and some have very unfortunate backgrounds. Absolutely true. What I don't get is, if somebody's got, let me give you this thought. You ever go to an old folks home and you'll see people with varying degrees, you know, personal care facility, with varying degrees of how with it they are or aren't still. Some of these people, they are in a personal care facility. They are under constant care because they cannot be trusted to make their own decisions anymore. They don't have all their marbles, as we used to say. Many of these individuals in these care homes, they worked for their whole life. They raised families in our community. They paid their taxes. They, generally speaking, didn't break any laws. But to protect themselves from their own decline, they are in secure care facilities. They don't have access to their bank cards. They don't have access to the general public. And you can be sure that some of them have IQs higher than 44. You can be quite sure of that. How is the... And I stumbled across another story and finding out about this guy from the Carlton kidnapping with his IQ of 44 in court on December 4th. And the judge saying, oh, that's a prime candidate to let out on the street. I saw there was another story in the Free Press in October about a guy, some accused, with an IQ of 57. Why? What is going on? Maybe Joss Reimer can explain this. Would she recommend that someone with an IQ of 44 be allowed out in a downtown Winnipeg? Because we saw what the result was of that. Would she have recommended that he be released into the community? Would that have been her professional assessment? She should answer questions like that. And I don't want to hear excuses of, oh, but there aren't enough practitioners, there aren't enough settings, and the emergency, and the services. It's very simple. The guys on the docket, right? He's facing the judge. Should the judge let somebody with an IQ of 44 out who's committed 30 or 40 or 50 crimes, including threatening a cop with a machete? Would Dr. Joss Reimer say that person, the judge should let them out to be in downtown Winnipeg? And then if you're somebody who, if you're somebody being lured to Carlton Street, to 24 Carlton, was she a racist if she was concerned she saw that goon? Was she a racist? She looked at it and got, oh, geez, what have I gotten myself into? I will keep an eye on all of these characters, all these media darlings. I will call them out on their bullshit. I will call them out when they gaslight you. And I especially will stick up for you when you have very real fears and concerns about public safety, about crime in downtown, about crime in the neighborhoods, about drug-addicted zombies, and all the other things, because we deal in reality here. What Pollyanna does over at the WRHA building, I'm not so sure. That will wrap up episode 1 of season 4. You can get a hold of me, martygoldlive@gmail.com. We're going to be doing a lot of work this year. I'm trying to rest up. I've tried to rest up. Your support's going to be part of it. You can go to our donate page, check out the top links for 2023, all of our top stories, and see for yourself. I stake our output last year, and in particular in December, I stake the output on actionline.ca and of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast against any radio station in this city, against any radio broadcaster, against any TV broadcaster, and against any so-called columnist in the newspapers. We address real issues in real time with real information and offer real solutions. I wish I was an orphan spreading sunshine. I guess I'm not, but I know that you're willing to accept that this city, our city mothers and fathers, they need a good dose of reality every single day. So I leave you with this. When you read these stories about the Winnipeg Free Press and their transit series, Mayor Gillingham takes the bus. Which bus is it? How many calls for trouble are there on the Ness Avenue bus? How many of those calls for trouble are at 7:30 in the morning when he's 7 in the morning when he leaves for City Hall? And, whenever he comes back, 5:30, 6 o'clock. A lot of those stories, apparently, the Free Press hasn't been naming the routes. Oh, don't worry, we'll name the bus routes. We're not going to participate in this game that's going on. Shannon Proudfoot in the Globe and Mail. Winnipeg's a wonderful place because this politician told her that, and another politician. Then every third person told her to go eat a restaurant I've never even heard of. There are nice things about the city. There are wonderful things about the city, and increasingly it's been undercut by the absolute legitimate fear of going outdoors, of going outside, of going downtown, of taking a bus, of waiting for a bus, of going in and out of a shopping mall, of your kids walking to and from school. We're going to talk about that. We're going to make politicians listen. We're going to make the social scientists listen. They may not like what they hear. They might call us names. I don't care. I care about you. I care about your business. I care about your family. I care about Winnipeg. And we're going to continue to show how much we care all through 2024. What do you figure comes up next? The bike lobby losing their minds? Sure thing. We'll plan for that one next podcast, the next day or two or three. Stay tuned. Check out Action Line and go through the roster of podcasts and stories. We're going to continue to try to post the story every day, every second day at actionline.ca as well. We do all of this because we have one abiding principle. And we're going to continue to uphold it. And nobody, not Justin Trudeau, not the CRTC, not apologists for poor government policy, no social justice warrior, nobody is going to push us off of home base. And home base is, you have the power.
If you have a story tip, an interview idea, or information the public needs to know, let us know. The Great Canadian Talk Show. Email martygoldlive@gmail.com. TGCTS. Old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
Thanks for listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com. Or follow him on Twitter @TGCTS.